Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Michaela?
Yes, this sure is.
How are you? Greg's on the other phone.
Okay.
Well, are you down in Bozeman right now?
I am, yep. I'm here for another month, and then I'm coming back to Great Falls.
Did you find a spot here?
Yep, I accepted a job with Western Ranch, working as an animal health specialist.
Oh, I'm too excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I think you'll be good.
Oh, it's just going to be really good to have somebody smart behind that desk.
Yeah.
To get past Larry, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, I bet.
It's quite a turnover.
Yeah, Larry pretty much offered me the job as I walked in, so.
He did.
Yeah.
Well, super.
Yeah, I interviewed with Gen X last weekend, too, but they didn't actually have a position open for me on the day. Yeah, and I drove over there on Saturday during that whole winter storm.
Oh, my so, Lord. Condolence.
Yeah, I wasn't very impressed with them at all.
I told you our Gen X story, so.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, after seeing their facilities, I can kind of see it, so, yeah.
They just have a huge turnover there.
I could see that, yeah. Well, and they, like, showed me one of their chutes, and the guy was like, yeah, we have troubles catching them in here, so half the time we have to run them back through. And I was like, huh, okay.
Oh,
yeah, I was like, all right, when we're working with 2,200-pound bulls, that's what I want to hear, like. So
yeah, six-figure 2,200-pound bull.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
The rest of the story.
Yeah, and it kind of seemed, too, like they were focused on Brazilian beef a little bit more than American, and so that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit.
It's all about exporting that semen, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, like almost every bull he pointed out to me is what they ship over to Brazil. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right. Got anything that you sell here in America, or?
Well, how do you want to run this?
I will just ask you the questions if you guys want to answer them.
Okay.
Just like a normal interview format, if that works.
Sure, okay.
All right. Let me know when you guys are ready and we can take off.
Anytime.
Okay. So the first question is, tell me a bit about your current involvement in agriculture and what you've been up to since you were identified as an outstanding ag leader.
Well, I think as far as our current involvement, one of the big things is we're expanding to facilitate generational transitions. And have continued to try to improve our efficiency. And we've been working hard with young people, not just our family, but others, and getting started and getting a vision for the future that could be successful.
Perfect.
So we've got the registered seed stock operation. We're raising registered Angus cattle, and we've expanded that exponentially since we got the award. We were still kind of in the situation where we were identifying our most efficient animals, our most maternal animals, and building on those. When we got started in 86, Greg and I working together, we had over 200 head, and we pared those down to the 30 really best cows that we had identified through the Angus herd improvement records, through their production records, and we built it back up from there. And every cow on the place pretty much goes back to one of those 30 cows, and probably of those, maybe 10 actually have a working female still here. And at the same time, we have tried to identify the most efficient bulls to put back on them to work on the maternal side. So for us, efficiency is paramount, and it's not about the biggest and the ones that have the biggest EPDs. It's about which ones are producing, you know, the most beef for each bite of grass, and that's been a process. And that kind of is swimming upstream from a lot of where the industry is, the seed stock industry is. We've also expanded the hay production. All of the ground is now 100% organic certified. You know, we've tried to maintain that because we're really always looking at trying to maintain our soil health, our soil quality, our water quality, our air quality. I mean, it all works together. And we did some shifting around of the actual own ground so that now we have a huge piece of the Missouri River Corridor here that we've got land stewardship over. It's like 10 or 11 miles of riverfront that, you know, we've got to be really cognizant of what's going into that. You know, how are we managing that riparian area? And at the same time, we're sitting on the outskirts of Great Falls and we're watching it, you know, just push in from all directions, not necessarily, you know, real well-planned developments. They're all just sort of popping up everywhere, and we're looking at places that we hate 20 years ago that are just solid houses now. So that's going to be a challenge. You know, working with the urbanites and the suburbanites, we've become a bedroom community of Great Falls now. So, you know, people are constantly looking at our operation, and that's what their perception of agriculture is.
Definitely. And just so everyone else knows, your guys' family has expanded since winning the award, correct?
Great. Andrew and Brandon are both married now. Their wives are back here with them. You know, all four of them are very involved in the operation. Andrew and Ashley just had a son. We've got a grandson now. And we just found out that Brandon and Caitlin are expecting.
Yeah, Caitlin texted me this morning and told me, so.
Yeah. So we're going to have now the sixth generation of Goulds.
Very exciting.
And production agriculture coming up.
Very exciting.
It's exciting and it's a huge responsibility at the same time.
Definitely, especially when you talk about expanding to facilitate generational agriculture. And wanting to pass down the ranch.
Exactly. And we've been proactive about that. You know, we've been doing estate planning and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that transition can happen around whatever, you know, the government regs are for making those transitions, which aren't always easy.
Yes, definitely. So the second question I have is, what advice would you give to someone that's just starting out in their agricultural career?
Well, I think probably the first thing that we would tell them is, remember, it's not about the amount of production that can be produced or the amount of nutrition that can be extracted from the soil. It should be about the most net profit. And the second thing I think we would say is, remember, that all wealth does come from the earth, and without a healthy environment, healthy soil, healthy plant communities, agricultural production cannot be sustainable forever. And I think we are convinced that it can be with careful management and sustaining the nutritional value and the health within the soil, and hopefully to developing systems and applications to actually improve it.
So I would tell them a couple of things. One is that being cognizant of the business side of the agriculture is what's going to make or break you. Whether you take agribusiness courses in college and, go get that four-year degree, or you work towards self-education on your own, you've got to be aware of every aspect of the business side. It's not just enough, to calve out your cows. It's not enough to put the seed in the ground and watch it grow, or to, cut your hay, or whatever it is that you're doing. You've got to be aware of what your inputs and what your output, and they've got to be in balance. And that, goes back and speaks to the efficiency side of things that I was talking about before. The other thing is that things have just exploded literally since, 9-1-1, no pun intended. And I think we got the award in 2001 as it was, where agriculture is bought and sold so much more on a global level now, with the expansion of e-business on the internet. People have to be aware of what's happening outside their backyard. But at the same time, it's not a question of, bigger or better. It's not like it was in the 70s and the 80s where it was get bigger, get out.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be about what's happening in your own backyard. Our phone literally rang off the hook this spring, when the COVID-19, debacle started, when people couldn't find beef in the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a locker beef business for many years, but it really got its legs cut out from under it when we lost our last local slaughter facility
mm-hmm.
here in this county, when Vaughn Meats went retired. And it was a struggle. We had the steers in the feedlot, but it was a struggle to try to find a place to get them, hung up and processed.
Yeah.
And that woke up a lot of people. And now there's some effort in the works for getting, more local facilities going. And we were able, with a lot of juggling and begging and pleading, to get some slots for about half of the steers that we had and get them to the people as locker beef.
Mm-hmm.
So, that also speaks to the niche markets. It's not going to be profitable for people to just wait and see what the order buyer or the grain buyer is going to offer them for their crop, or, whether it's their calf crop or their lamb crop, or their hay or their grain or whatever at the end of the year. You've got to be proactive in figuring out how to market it and to be the marketer.
Mm-hmm.
Try to eliminate the middleman as much as possible. And look for those kinds of niche markets. And, that might be, a 5-acre truck garden that you're selling through a CSA kind of thing. It's all about getting that really good food that has a history that, you can put a face to the farmer, to the family, to the rancher
mm-hmm.
that's raising that, and getting it out to the people, and the satisfaction of hearing them tell you how much they enjoyed your product.
Most definitely. The third question is, why is it important to celebrate those working in the agricultural industry?
Amy and I have talked that over and condensed it down. And Amy, if you wish to deliver it, go ahead.
If you ate today, you better thank a farmer or rancher. And I know that's a cliche, but that's the bottom line. I mean, everybody's got to eat every day, and it didn't just show, it didn't come from the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
They the world needs to know what it took to get that steak on the plate, to get that, you know, slice of bread in the bag. They need to know that there's people out here working 24/7 in all kinds of weather and conditions, and having curveballs thrown at them, you know, left and right. Excuse me. Whether that's, you know, the wildfires in California, or like you guys were dealing with down there in Bozeman, or, you know, a drought, or 50 below in your cabin for 6 weeks solid. We're out there 24/7 making sure that we're raising the best food in the world right here in Montana. And we've got to figure out ways to get that to people without shipping it out of state, out of country, out of wherever.
Definitely.
I think celebrate, I'm not sure the meaning of that in the context of the sentence, but the voice of agricultural producers needs to be heard, lest they only be 1 or 1.5% of our citizenship now. The other 99% too of our citizenship of the world, the population of the world, they want to eat every day. So I think it's important for us to be, to have their support.
Mm-hmm.
Too.
Definitely. I couldn't agree with you guys more.
And you know, that was the first job in the world. You know, God made Adam the steward of the garden. And again, maybe that sounds cliched, but that was the beginning of the civilized world, when people had to stay in one place and settle in, and they weren't just hunter-gatherers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people really realize how much civilization owes to agriculture. You know, that was the start of you know, towns and cities and empires. It started from people coming together and staying in one spot to raise food.
Most definitely.
And we've kind of flipped that. Now everybody thinks, or I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people think that anything that's important is happening in concentrated areas where people live, that it's happening on the internet, that it's happening, you know, in the ether out there,
mm-hmm.
and they're not realizing that it's all starting in that 1% of the population that's feeding everybody else. And they need to celebrate that, and they need to be made aware of it. And, you know, as people in agriculture, we've got to advocate for ourselves and get that out there.
I completely agree, and I really hope to see some change after COVID-19 really hit us hard. Which leads into the final question. When you think about the agriculture industry, what are you excited for or looking forward to in the near future?
I think we are most excited about passing this ranch on to future generations and doing all we can to pass a sustainable business mold. We're also very excited because I can't imagine that there's any way to go but up with our commodity prices. And we're excited about it actually being profitable for the sake of those following in our footsteps. Okay.
I'm excited that there seems to be some positive movement in people who are not in agriculture to realizing that a couple generations ago, you went to the local butcher, you went to the farm next door and you bought your eggs. And you got your butter, you know, from the farm wife who was, you know, milking her cow or cows and doing that, that people are looking more for locally produced, sustainably produced food. They're becoming more savvy about how their food was produced. And I think that's a really positive thing, that it's just not these nameless, faceless commodities to be bought and sold. When you look at how much of agriculture is controlled by globally by just a few cartels. I mean, if you've ever read the book Merchants of Grain, that's a good example. I know it's a 30-year-old book, and you were telling me you read Lentil Underground, so, you know, you've got a good handle on, you know, how that all worked, too. I'm excited to see that people are maybe getting a little woke here about, you know, where's our food going? And do we really want to buy it, you know, back from China or, you know, Ukraine or wherever? And it ties into things like, you know, human rights issues. You know, how was that raised somewhere else? And I don't think people read their labels, but people are starting to read their labels and they want to know where it came from. And don't even get me started on country of origin labeling. And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here. I'm just really excited about the fact that people want to know where to come from and they want to try to support the local economy now. And we really saw that this year.
I completely agree. Is there anything else the two of you want to add? As that's the end of our questions.
Yes, I think we were going to add that we advise future farmers to think globally and produce locally.
I think that's the takeaway here. And it's exciting to me to see persons like yourself who are excited to be in agriculture, who are excited to be coming back into agriculture, to see kids who have no background in ag want to go to, you know, MSU and to become agriculturalists. And not necessarily just production agriculture, but recognizing that there are so many careers in agriculture and agribusiness that support production agriculture. And the sky truly is the limit now. It's just changed exponentially from when we got the award till now. It literally is one generation. You know, it's been almost 20 years. So it literally has been one generation. And in some ways, it's one more generation removed from ag, but it's also a generation that can be coming into ag. And those are the people that are in school with you right now. And that's what I get excited about, is seeing that there are people coming into agriculture that are excited about it, and those are the people we want to support. You know, and we do that, or I do that through 4-H, you know, and trying to get those kids back in and make them understand that it's not just about their market animal, it's about what's that steak on the plate going to look like when they're all done. You know, the whole Meats ID team that you were part of.
Yes, Devin.
That's the stuff that gets me excited and keeps me going some days.
I couldn't agree more. And with that, that comes to the end of our interview. So if you want to just remember, email me a picture of the family.
I'll get you a photo.
That would be great.
And I'll say hi to you when you're at Western Ranch.
Yeah, I start on December 1st. So.
Oh, exciting. That's great.
Right before the kick of calving. So, yeah.
So are you gonna stay at the ranch or are you going to be in Great Falls?
I'm trying to find somewhere in Great Falls to live right now. Just because it'll be closer, and I have a couple people that would want to be roommates to make it cheaper. And I've looked at buying a house, too, because I'm tired of paying somebody else to invest when I can do it myself. So
absolutely.
So, yeah, we'll see what comes in the next month of finding a house in Great Falls.
Okay.
So,
have our support, McKenna.
Thank you both very much, and have an amazing day.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. So are we going to be able to see this?
You should be able to.
The whole thing with all of the you know, past awardees and
everything? Yeah, yeah. I actually don't know when they should be sending invitations out, but they should come over email. I would guess, I'll ask Jessica Murdoch today, who she's our advisor, what those invitations look like, and then I'll get that sent out.
So
they're
going to do like a vignette together?
It's supposed to be over WebEx, and I'm
okay.
assuming it's probably going to be recorded to hopefully be presented again.
I see.
I'm not entirely sure.
So there'll be some kind of a WebEx presentation that they're going to distill this all down and
yep.
put it together. Got
yep.
it. All right.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for taking
right.
the time out of your day.
Keep
Thank you.
Take care.
I will, for sure. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.